Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about, feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Today on the ZabeCast, it's Andy Polin, the guy I once derisively called Good Enough Andy. A man who knows more Redskins history than anybody. Somebody who loved Chinese food, Tiger Woods, and 60 Minutes on Sundays. And a guy who taught me the word Mushugana. Your bonus, uncensored 35-minute edition of the ZabeCast is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
What's the evaluation like after a loss like that?
They whooped our ass, plain and simple. Gotta be better.
Anything they did that surprised you guys early on?
No, I wouldn't say so. I think it's just a lack of focus on our part, a lack of attention to detail, not starting fast, and creating holes that are too big for us to overcome in the second half.
Does it get frustrating when that
seems... Yes, it does. I'm fucking tired of this shit. Fucking tired of this bullshit. It's been 7 fucking years of the same shit. Tired of this shit.
What can you do now going forward to get it turned around?
Get our minds right and get ready to play fucking Philadelphia.
What's the evaluation like after a loss like that?
Wow, Jonathan Allen, defensive end, Washington Commanders. I don't know where you come down on this, Andy, because there's a lot to unpack here, but first and foremost, I saw this turd coming from a mile away with the Commanders. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, yeah. I mean, Jonathan Allen played at Alabama. He's lost more games this year, I think. What is that, 4 now, than he lost maybe in his career at Alabama?
Right? Well, it sounds like his frustrations go beyond just this year. He said, I've been here 7 fucking years.
Well, he did sign a second contract, so he He didn't make a great effort to get out after four, I guess.
Right.
So there's that. But, yeah, I mean, anybody who's been here a long time goes, well, yeah, this is who you play for. Now, look, there's new ownership here, and they're going to flush everybody out of here at the end of the year. I think this cements the end of the Ron Rivera era, if there was any chance that it was going to be extended. And but it's going to be probably a start over with a new coach. And, you know, with the trade deadline coming next week, right, October 31st?
10 days, I believe. I believe it's Tuesday at 5 o'clock.
Oh, maybe he's saying, you know, get me out of here because I see what's coming.
No, nobody gets traded anymore, especially guys with high-dollar contracts, which he is.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah,
all right, let me start unpacking this. And first of all, everybody, welcome to the Zabecast. It's the Monday edition with Uncle Andy. Andy and I, as many of you know, did 16 glorious years together in the booth on the Sports Reporters, on the Team 980. And this is my chance to sort of stretch the Washington vibes and to give you people Washington content front and center at least one day a week. So if you don't like it, pound sand, motherfucker! How about that? Okay. Having said that, 14-7 your final from the Meadowlands as the Commanders just look like dog shit. Sam Howell sacked six more times, which means he is every bit on pace for the eye-watering new record of most times sacked in a season, which would be around 95, 96, depending on how you do the math, if he survives all 17 starts, which at this point it's hard to imagine.
And realize this.
The record is held by David Carr, not right. Derek, with a mere 74. So he is going to do to the record what Barry Bonds did to the home run record. He's going to shit all over it at this pace.
David Carr was 76.
76, not 74, yes.
First year expansion team with the Houston Texans. And it's not like Sam Howell is facing the 85 Bears every week.
No.
Last week, he faced Atlanta, which had five sacks all year. They sacked him five times. Today, he faced the Giants, who had five sacks all year. They sacked him six times.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mind-boggling what's happening. And you can and all this Twitter stuff about, oh, the offensive line is a disgrace. Yeah, the offensive line is bad. There was bad play calling by Eric Bieniemy. But it's just impossible to get that many sacks unless you're holding on to the ball too long, which he clearly is.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. But at the end of the day, the quarterback is responsible for getting into the right play calls, seeing where to go with the ball before it's even snapped, and right. getting rid of it, mm-hmm. and not overestimating your ability to and run around and escape tackles. See, these escape tackle guys out of college, which is what he was, Sam Howell, at North Carolina. He was an escape guy at North Carolina, ran for a good bit of yards, including some designed runs. Yeah. They overestimate their ability to elude pro tacklers, and it gets them in big trouble. That happens to every guy out there. Justin Fields is the same way. He still thinks he can get away from guys.
Right. No, he was sacked a lot in college, and people said, how could he fall to the fifth round? Well, this is how you fall to the fifth round, because right. you continue to fall when they come around you and they tackle you for losses.
Right. But anyway, back to the Jonathan Allen comments. Yeah. So lots to unpack here. Let's start with this. Is it ever acceptable for a pro athlete in front of live microphones to be that explicitly vulgar?
I don't know. I mean, the line has moved so much. We're doing a podcast here. And you're dropping F-bombs all the time. So I don't know. I don't know.
This is a podcast,
the church lady on this one. No,
Andy, this is a podcast. This is not a professional group setting. He's a professional talking to a professional. I'm a slappy in front of a mic. I think it's unacceptable. I don't like where the line has moved, and I agree that it's moved. I don't like where it's going. I also feel like it's performative by him, that he held it together for the first couple of answers and then decided to say, okay, watch, I'm going to give you your soundbite now. And they're going to bleep it out afterwards, and that's going to show how much I care. That's number one. Number two is, well, I've heard similar John Allen rants like this before. And while I like him overall as an athlete, I think he takes accountability. I think he plays hard himself. He's a good player. What are you doing, to change the mentality of we got to come out better, stronger, faster. You're on the team. You're in the locker room. You've got 7 years and a second contract backing your voice. This is a you thing as much as anything else. That's number two. And the third thing is you took the money to stay here.
Well, that's the number one thing. That's it. I mean,
so you think three is number one for you?
Yeah.
You took the money to stay. You took the money to stay when you knew the other owner, who's now out on a boat somewhere, was a bag of shit, was a bad guy who didn't know how to win, who hired bad people. You signed on for more money. So why are you complaining now? You got paid.
Right. No, I agree with that. And okay. And so if you do that, and as far as these, you know, these locker room leadership things, this happens all the time in sports, that there is a closed door players only meeting. And if you win, it works. And if you lose, nobody says anything about it. So talk is cheap. I don't think it matters really one way or another what he says, how he says it. It's a bad team. It's been a bad organization. And it needs to be flushed out at the end of the year, including this coach-centric operation with Ron Rivera that is in year four and needs to go. They need to start all over with a traditional front office structure, which Josh Harris has done with his other teams and will probably do with Washington.
Did you see Irvin Magic Johnson, the NBA Hall of Famer and legend, tweeting out, because he's a partial owner, he's a minority owner, it's hard to win in this league when you only score 7 points. Thanks, Magic! That was super helpful of you.
he's new to football, so he's...
Wait a minute! What do you mean he's new to football? He's an American red-blooded sporting man who knows things about sports. Come on. He's not like, how's this game played?
Yes. Oh, seven's not going to do it, huh? Oh, okay. Well, then we're probably going to have to work on that in the offseason.
Speaking of new to sports, did you see the viral video of the two, I forget what football players they were, either two Eagles players who went to the Phillies playoff game and were mic'd up watching from the front row? One of those was DeAndre Swift, and they were hilarious because they clearly knew very little about baseball whatsoever, and they were just having the time of their life. They were like, oh man, this guy's about to do damage. Like, yeah! They're like, these guys play like in another city like every day. They play all the time.
It's weird because, you know, a lot of times quarterbacks, you'll see that they're, you know, capable of playing baseball. Dan Marino was drafted in the major leagues. John Elway, you know, was able to use that as leverage to get himself out of Baltimore when he was drafted.
Right.
Tom Brady was drafted by the Montreal Expos. But, yeah, in other positions, it doesn't seem like baseball is really much on their radar.
Here you go.
Now, though, not right now. Baseball season is so long. How many games they got? I don't know. Maybe different city than every other day.
He look like he about to do damage, though.
Schwarber, by the way. Yeah, it was pretty funny. By the way, Schwarber is just a man amongst boys right now, just hitting bomb after bomb after bomb. Funny that Schwarber, Harper, and Turner are all former Nats.
Great. Well, look, also with Schwarber, for 150 years, nobody thinks outside the box. He's a power hitter. We'll bat him cleanup. And Joe Maddon says, nah, he walks a lot. He hits home runs. We're going to bat him leadoff. And I don't care if he bats under 200. Which he didn't do this year. He's like 193. And here he is. If he continues this into the World Series and they get there, he's going to wind up as the World Series MVP. It's remarkable.
Yeah, we look like we're headed towards a rematch of last year, which I would be all about, partly because I got two good friends who I golf with and listen to this podcast, Philly Nate and Houston Scotty, who are on opposite ends of it. I have a wild hair and I don't even want to talk about it lest I jinx it, if there is a rematch, to try to arrange to go to all seven games with both guys in the stadium if it goes that far. What do you think it would take? I mean, other than a lot of money and maybe a divorce, to say we're dropping everything. We're canceling. We're taking time off of work. We're going to go to every World Series game between the two. I'd love it just because they're my buddies and I know how much they love their teams.
Yeah, but it would wear you out if it goes seven.
Oh, God.
It's not 2-3-2, you know.
It's
2-2-1-1-1.
It'd be a devastating financial hit, and it would lead to some serious arguments of, no, I can't do that. I'm flying down to Houston. No, I'm flying back to Philly. I'm driving up to Philly now. And the tickets, oh, my God. The tickets are going to be $1,000 just to get in the ballpark.
Oh, at least, yeah. And look, it's great, but you were the front and center on television saying, you know,
it's not as good. I know. But that said, the environment in Philly and in Houston are a cut above any other baseball environment right now in terms of passion, fanaticism, and everything else.
Yeah, no, it's a great thing. It's a bucket list thing. You can tell people you did it. You can impress your friends at cocktail parties, but it would wear you out, believe me.
All right. When we last left Andy Pollin on this podcast, I left everyone hanging by promising that his story about who was it again?
Dick Butkus.
Your Dick Butkus story. Sorry, I had a brain fart there. Your Dick Butkus story that you wanted to share with us. The music to get out was already playing, and I said, don't worry, next week. Next week came, I totally forgot, and it wasn't told. So we need to close the account on this. Tell me your story about the great Dick Butkus who passed away 2 weeks ago.
The reason I wanted to tell you is because when we were working together, you seemed to get a particular kick out of hearing George Allen's stories. So this is a Dick Butkus, George Allen story.
Oh, George Allen was the best. George Allen was a cartoon character of you wouldn't believe it if NFL films didn't chronicle the weirdness and the passion and the quirkiness of the great George Allen.
Yeah. So when Dick Butkus came to the Bears as a rookie in 1965, George Allen was the defensive coordinator. And that was the best season the Bears had while Butkus played there. They went 9-5, did not make the playoffs, but that was the best win-loss percentage they had of the 9 seasons he played. The following year, Allen goes to Los Angeles, coaches the Rams, does well there. But the owner, Dan Reeves, not that Dan Reeves, didn't like him, fired him. He goes to Washington to coach the Redskins, and he's an immediate success. He says the future is now, and they win. They go to the Super Bowl in the second year. Okay, so now Butkus plays out his career. He has only one more winning season. 1973, his knee is so bad that he can only play half the season, and he's playing on one leg. And at the end of the year, the Bears don't renew his contract. So it's now the offseason, 73 going into 74. Allen is about to start, I believe, his fourth year in Washington and sees, oh, Dick Butkus is on the market, and he's only about 31 years old. So he calls Butkus and he says, I want you to come to Washington to get a physical. And Butkus says, I'd love to, coach, but, you know, my knee is so bad. He says, look, I work for the Bears. I know that they've got cheap ownership, and they don't have good doctors. We got Stan Levine. I want him to look at you. Okay, so he comes to Washington.
Dr. Levine, let's go. Get him going. Get him fixed up. This is an era in which knee surgeries were like Frankenstein operations.
Right.
Where old athletes – yeah, like Joe Namath's knee, if you were to look at it, it's got zipper scars long as a prize-winning bass up and down his knee.
Right. So he probably had a torn ACL, but in those days they didn't have the surgery to fix it. So he comes to Washington. Levine gets him up on the table and he takes a look and he goes, coach, I don't know how he's walking. I don't know how he's going to be able to play football. I don't think that's going to be possible at all. And Allen says, okay. But what I need is to have him ready for the playoffs. Can we just get him ready for the playoffs?
We need to nurse him to health all the way through the season to get him ready for the postseason. And what did Dr. Levine say?
And he said, no, that was the end of that.
The
laser focus of Allen not understanding that here was a man who could barely walk, much less play football, and somehow the doctor was going to get him ready for the playoffs.
Oh, my God. George Allen, who routinely sent one of his assistants to patrol the perimeter of Redskin Park to look for spies in the trees.
Allen was the king of spying himself because, because the Cowboys, when I was in Dallas, as a matter of fact, before they built Valley Ranch and all that other stuff, They used to practice at a facility that had a hotel that backed up to the practice field.
Uh-oh.
And the week that they would play Washington, they would have to buy out all the rooms on that side because he would have scouts stay in the hotel room to try and spy on the Cowboys practice field.
Yeah, that's funny. And spying is back in the news again with the investigation that's been opened against Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. What's your sense of this? It's very early, just accusations right now.
Yeah, I mean, they've already fired or suspended one low-level guy. So the question is, how far does it get before it touches Harbaugh? It seems like an innocent thing. I mean, at the high school level, if you want to watch another team's practice, you can. And that's what the accusation is, that this person, or it could have even been like rogue people who were like Michigan boosters who went out on their own and came up with the signals and passed them along. Now, how much did he make use of them? I don't know. Did he need them for any other game except Ohio State? Probably not. But, you know, they're trying to nail him on anything they can. And in an era where you're allowed to give players cars and houses and Deion's kids are driving Rolls Royces.
Right.
He was suspended 3 games for buying a player a hamburger.
So why are, quote, they, and this is a genuine question, trying to get him? Who is they?
The NCAA.
And why?
Because I don't know. I really, because he's so disagreeable. I really don't know.
But it doesn't smell right to you. Smells like one guy's getting picked on versus everyone else, where really there are no rules anymore, pretty much in college.
Exactly. Yeah. So these are old things but this is something that they came up with in 1994 for financial reasons when they weren't printing the kind of money that they do through television. And they said, oh, well, we can't scout other teams' practices because not everybody can afford to do that. So that's is my understanding is why they came up with the rule.
Practice. I didn't know you were allowed to walk into a football field and watch another team's practice, even in high school.
Well, I know that when Dan Snyder started charging fans to come in and watch training camp, that opened the door for scouts to pay for tickets to go in and scout them.
Right.
So, I mean, the rules to me are so fuzzy. I don't really understand them, but yeah, they somehow come up with rules, and if you break them, they try and punish you.
Speaking of rules, one of the stories of Saturday was Iowa versus Minnesota and a spectacular punt return by Cooper DeJean. I don't know how it's pronounced, but it was an amazing return that would have given Iowa the lead late, 17-12. He had basically made motions with his hands for his own team to stay away from the ball because it was a short punt that was in danger of ricocheting off of one of the Iowa players. However, when he was running kind of towards the ball and motioning with one hand to stay away, he was also pointing with his other hand. And he picks up the ball the last second on the sideline, tiptoes the sideline, dodges 7 defenders, cuts up field, makes a great move, turns on the Jets, goes for a touchdown. Suddenly the play is under review. Was he out of bounds? Because all scoring plays are reviewed in college.
Right.
Apparently, when they reviewed the play to see if he was in bounds or out of bounds, they noticed, hey, that constitutes an illegal fair catch signal. These rules are in there to prevent teams from confusing the punting team with weird signals with your hands. And there's strict rules on can't have it above your head. You can't do this. You can shield your eyes from the sun, but this wasn't the case because I think the sun had already gone down. So they ruled it correctly, in my opinion, as illegal signal, and therefore the return was nullified. But the problem with replay, Andy, is that they didn't blow the play dead right away. So they let it play out because, hey, replay will fix this if it's wrong. The problem is the fix felt wrong itself. It didn't feel like something that should have been called in the heat of the moment. Yeah, it was kind of confusing, but it didn't really affect the play. Where did you come down on this? Did you see the play in question?
No, I've read it. I heard about it.
Okay.
I kind of breezed by it, and I've heard your explanation there, too. But this is yet another rant from you about how instant replay stinks and needs to go away.
It's the devil because it makes sports lawyering. You lawyer games and go, well, technically, he had his one arm here and his other arm there, and that's illegal.
Here's what happened, and you were talking about this years ago, what HD was going to do to sports, and this is part of the collateral damage, that you can see everything so clearly that when somebody is wrong on a play, if you don't have a way to fix it, it's wrong. This goes back to it's Vinny Testaverde, who should have been credited with a touchdown in 1998, because instant replay was gone. It was gone for about 5 or 6 years.
Right.
And
well,
they brought it back.
And that instant replay, it needs to be emphasized, was standard definition replay. Only 480 lines of resolution. So therefore, you didn't have the ability to get down to the granular level. And that's where replay would have worked in theory. Because the finer you get, the tighter you look, the more ambiguity you uncover. And the fact they now let plays play out and then they adjudicate them via replay from a far-off referee in a studio somewhere in New York or Chicago or wherever doesn't sit right. It doesn't feel right. It's not what sports is supposed to be about. Am I yelling now? I'm yelling.
But that's what it has evolved to.
I hate
every,
it.
Every play is based on Abraham Zapruder's Hell and Howl camera. And that's how it works now. And you're not getting this toothpaste back in the tube. You're not going to one day say, the NFL owners voted and they're doing away with replay. They did that once, but that was over 30 years ago. It's not going to happen again.
I fucking hate it to death. That said, Iowa still had the ball at the 45, and they're trailing only by two, and they couldn't even come close to getting in field goal position to win the game. They had 3 yards of offense in the second half against a bad Minnesota team. Three, Andy, three. So if I could sum up this whole story more succinctly, yeah, fuck Iowa, though. They're terrible.
Right. That's what I was just going to say, because if it's Nick Saban, it doesn't play out that way.
I know. Nick Saban did win against Tennessee. His team is 7-1. He said, look, I really like coaching this team, but I'm not going to say they're not taking years off of my life.
Yeah.
That was a great quote right there. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At MyBookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Meanwhile, Kyle Whittingham, coach at Utah, who once again showed USC, we're still your daddy, beating Caleb Williams again, more on him in a second, said, well, they've got a quarterback who's a Heisman Trophy front runner. We got a quarterback who's a pig farmer. But we like our guy, too. It was a great quote. I love the fact that USC is finding out it's not as easy as everyone thought it would be. And now there's already people, get this, who are saying that Caleb Williams should shut it down for the rest of the year in advance of going pro.
And would it surprise you if he did that? It would not surprise me.
It would not surprise me. Is he still asking for partial ownership in whatever team drafts
him? Well, that's not – you know how that sort of
– I know. That was a rumor that got put out there. He's never officially asked for that. And he's never going to get it, by the way.
And he doesn't need it. I read Andrew Brandt's little blurb today.
Whoa. Need?
No, because let's say this.
Who are you to say what someone needs in terms of money?
No. I'm talking about needing more money to stay. There won't be more money to stay. There's more money to go to the NFL. If he's the number one overall pick, he's going to be guaranteed like $25 million in bonus. Is USC going to pay him $25 million to stay another year? I don't think so.
Not when he can't beat Utah.
Yeah, right. And he's 4-7 against ranked teams. It's a wonderful offense.
Right.
They have no defenders. I actually listened to the end of the game because I was driving back from a wedding on Saturday night. Mark Kestisher and his crew did a fabulous job, and they left time on the clock after they scored, and Utah went down the field, kicked the field goal, and they won. That's how that works.
But you know what? He was at Oklahoma. That is now 7-0. Thanks to the – or 7-1, I think. Didn't they lose the shootout to Texas? They're whatever they are, and they they escaped UCF. But here's the thing. He could have stayed or gone somewhere that has a better defense. He went to California for the weather and the Ferrari. So,
and the coach.
And the coach, right. I went package deal. Oklahoma 7-0. 7-0, they escaped UCF 31-29. I'm not anti Caleb Williams. I'm anti the hype about Caleb Williams. I'm anti the presumption about everything. And Lincoln Riley is a bullshitter because he said after the game, he goes, everyone expects you to be good. Everyone expects you can have a championship caliber team. He says, we don't come in here every single week talking about winning a national championship. Then somebody pulled up a Bill Plaschke column in which he was asked about it. And Riley said, well, to win the championship, we didn't come here to play for second. So he's talking out both sides of his mouth. Anyway, so there was that. The college football final month is going to be wild. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be unpredictable, but yeah, USC is not all they're cracked up to be.
And though Georgia is still unbeaten and number one, they're vulnerable, it looks like.
Yeah, very much so. Oh, and then one more thing in college. What on earth, Andy, was Michigan State and their stadium ops thinking? For some reason, some dum-dum there decided to be ha-ha funny in a pregame video scoreboard graphic on a trivia contest to do a Hitler trivia question. What country was Hitler born in? With a picture of Das Führer, the most evil man in the history of planet Earth, smiling on the scoreboard, especially given what's happened in Israel over the last 2 weeks.
Of course. And initially I saw something where they blamed it on a student who was in charge of this.
Does the student not know? Isn't there adults supervising all of this?
That's what I would say. So no, don't hang a student out to dry. That's on you. That's on you. There's no excuse for it. There's no, we were thinking we would do this because this is the way we did it. No. Dumb. Some idiot student thought it was a funny idea and put it up there. Hitler is the third rail. Don't touch it. Stay away from it.
Yeah, not funny at any time whatsoever. Lastly, I couldn't believe this, but I actually led my show in Milwaukee one morning during the meat of football season on a Friday, no less, with an assistant NBA coach story because Terry Stotts, assistant coach for the Bucks, resigned suddenly and surprisingly 4 days before the start of the regular season, just 4 months after he'd been hired. And I'm like, I would have never guessed I would have done it, but it actually was a noteworthy story because there clearly was some sort of personality clash between him and new head coach Adrian Griffin. So it got me to thinking of the most awkward and sudden and or what the hell just happened resignations in sports. You say number one is?
Well, I want to give you a little history. I think the one that really kind of started all of this and started the term burnout was Dick Vermeil, who at 46 and 2 years removed from taking the Eagles to the Super Bowl after they'd been, you know, the dregs of the league, he resigned and said, I can't do it anymore. And that coined the term burnout. And there were a number of other coaches who followed in that. Parcells did it several times. And then Joe Gibbs retired at 52 the first time. Right. And he was clearly a victim of contract
burnout. And he retired the first time, surprisingly, right? With caught all of us by surprise.
In March, which is, it wasn't like right at the end of the season. He waited over a month to get out. And the king of this, of resignations, was Larry Brown. And Larry Brown, moved from NBA team to college team, back to the NBA, back to college. And one of the things about Larry Brown, I don't know him, but people who do say he's so laser focused on the coaching aspect of it that he doesn't pay attention to anything else. So UCLA, which had John Wooden for like 100 years and paid him, I'm told, a top salary of $35,000. because Wooden was the same thing. He was from Indiana, didn't care about money, took the UCLA job in the late 40s when he probably bought his house in LA for like 10 grand. And so he really wasn't, worried about money. So
I heard he made it up in summer camp revenue, though.
Yeah, and he had a guy who was, greasing him a little bit.
Imagine if you went to John Wooden's summer basketball camp and got a T-shirt. I don't think he ever did those. Those are very lucrative nowadays. My colleague, Brian Butch, makes a killing on his basketball summer camps around Wisconsin.
As part of the contract. But anyway, he comes in, and there have been coaches who'd come and go on, like Gene Bartow and others who, couldn't follow the Wooden legend. And he takes the job for at that time they weren't paying coaches a lot of money, and he was getting like 100 grand. And he goes, "Oh, that's a lot of money." Then he goes to buy a house in L.A., and they go,
100 grand. That is not getting you anything.
So then he left after a couple of years. But those were the kind of things that would happen. So and then he just became a nomad, just moving all over the place. But I think it really started at UCLA.
Spurrier allegedly resigned from the golf course.
Yes.
And then his agent got a hold of him and said, "What are you doing? There's more money you could get out of this. Stop it." And he tried to put the toothpaste back in the tube to, I think, limited effect, if I recall.
He got some money, but I think he left, as I remember, about $12 million on the table, and the agent got him back like another two. But
and I don't think Spurrier cared. He didn't want the money. He was so miserable. Being in the pros and coaching under Danny, he's like, "Get me the fuck out of here."
Well, he gave it up at midseason. When he at the middle of the year, when he said, "I'm going to let Hugh call the ball plays."
That's Hugh Jackson. Yes.
When he
allegedly, according to our sources, once watched a practice on a rainy Thursday in the late stages of the season from the glass windows of Redskins Park overlooking the practice field, that's when you knew he really wasn't into it.
Yeah, he didn't want to do it. And so he left it. I found him to be very well. We did shows with him, right? He was honest on most things.
I know.
But at the end, he got sick of us.
Because we had the audacity as fans and as media members to actually hold him accountable for how shitty things were going, and he did not like that.
He was better than some, and at the end of the year,
Gibbs didn't like it either. Zorn really hated it.
Right. Well, he did 1 year with us, and that was enough. But what happened was he was saying things like, "I intend to come back." He didn't quite.
Right. He learned how to be crafty like that.
Yeah.
Well, look, that was this whole Spurrier episode was what finally made me realize that being right in this business does not pay. There's no value in being right. You can try to be right about your sports opinions, as I do still foolishly to this day, even though I'm as wrong as anyone else is 50% of the time or more. But I said as soon as Spurrier came in, remember when I said this, I go, "Oh, my God, this guy's going to be a disaster. You watch. Johnny College is not going to be able to do what he does at Florida in the pros. He's got overwhelming talent superiority at Florida due to recruiting. All this fun and gun stuff is going to get demolished. And in the first stages of it, people were calling up the show going, why are you being such a hater? Why are you being so negative? Give it a shot. Yeah, well, who was fucking right? Me.
Yeah.
What did it get me? Nothing.
How about Steve? How about our friend Charlie Casserly, who at that time was starting the Houston Texans? And he saw Danny Werfel on the waiver wire.
Picked him up.
Claimed him. Nobody wanted Danny Werfel.
Claimed him because he knew Spurrier would have to have his college trinket. And we traded a pretty decent guard for him, if I recall.
I think it was a defensive lineman who wound up playing like 2 or 3 years for the Texans. And Spurrier came in, and he couldn't understand that, you know, his Heisman Trophy winner from Florida wasn't going to make it in the NFL because he didn't have an arm and he didn't understand closing speed of quarterbacks. Yeah. So, you know, and it just didn't work out.
And then when Gibbs came in, he had to trade a third rounder to go get Brunell, whose career was pretty much almost over. They were about to cut him in Jacksonville, but they didn't cut him because they knew Gibbs would have to have him because he was a veteran who was available and had probably gone to Bible study with him.
Yeah, I think there was some of that, too. Yeah.
Oh, well, as the machine churns on, we are just passengers on the mighty bus that is sports, sports, sports. Lest anyone think I don't love it or Andy doesn't love sports, we love it so much we're willing to call it out for bullshit when it is bullshit.
That's part of the game now.
It is. You know, it's still
the BS goes with the territory.
I'm telling you what, the two baseball games this weekend, games 5 and games 4 and 5 between the two LCSs, were absolute wild rides. I enjoyed them. I think I'm becoming a baseball fan, Andy. I don't know.
Jose Altuve is unbelievable. He comes to the plate and he's 5'5". And you go, well, he's probably going to hit a home run. Boom! He hits a home run.
5'5" on a clear day. Yeah. At that, he's tiny. It's amazing. All right, very good. Andy, as always, a pleasure, my friend. Check Dick Butkus story off the list, and it was a good one. I like it. George Allen thought that he had a miracle doctor that could save ACLs that had not been treated properly and get the legend ready for a playoff run.
And so focused on getting him to the playoffs, wasn't listening to reality. The man can barely walk. He's not going to play football again.
All right, Andy, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
I'll tell you,
there you go. All right, good run. Right now it's Texas-Houston 1-1, and the Eagles and Dolphins are doing battle. The Eagles have rolled out their Kelly Green uniforms and color scheme for the first time in 30 years. And even though they are absolute filthy savages in Philadelphia, and I do hate that team, that uniform, oh my God, it's iconic. The only crime tonight is that the Dolphins are not wearing their appropriate throwbacks. They're wearing that newfangled shit, the light teal. Bah, terrible. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to subscribe, be a 5-day-a-week member of the Zabecast Army, I would most appreciate it. And those who already are, I thank you for your $5 a month. Go to Zabe.com/subscribe. Jump in, jump out, cancel anytime. I'm not going to hound you, and I appreciate your support. Have a great Monday, everybody, and we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.